She followed Cecilia down the long row of stalls and utility areas, past grooms washing horses, walking horses, feeding horses, and mucking out stalls.
The great thing about Wherein is there's no shortage of space. You don't have to make do with a few practice rings, a single warm-up ring.
So it appeared. A vast field, broken into a long row of dressage rings separated by 10-meter alleys, and another long row of larger rings with two or three jumps each. Everywhere, horses and riders and trainers. At the far end, Harris saw the number 15. A bright bay mare strode around the outside, ridden by a groom in the light blue shirt of Ari's stable. Cecilia showed her competitor's pass, and the groom hopped down to give her a leg up. Harris stood back. She didn't understand most of what Cecilia was doing that first session. That it would lead to a dressage test the day after next, yes, but not how Cecilia's choice of gait and pattern aimed at that goal. Cecilia's expression gave her no clue, and her comments and questions to the groom and then Ari didn't clear things up. Harris felt uncomfortable, not only because of the hot sun. If anyone had asked her, she thought it was a silly thing to do in the first place, trying to get horses over those obstacles. And for Cecilia, at her age, when she hadn't done it for 30 years, and on a horse she didn't know, it was worse than silly. But no one did ask her, and she kept her opinion to herself. When Brun and Sirkin arrived with Cecilia's saddle, which looked just like all the other saddles to Harris's eye, she noticed that Sirkin reacted as she did, while Brun clearly belonged with the equestrian enthused. Before the day was out, Brun had convinced Ari to let her work with the horses, for no pay, of course. Sirkin, having been stepped on by the first horse she got close to, had even less enthusiasm than Harris. Early in the morning, 2 days later, Harris found herself perched on a hard seat in the viewing stands of the dressage arena. Cecilia, already dressed for her own appearance, sat with her at first to explain the routine. She explained why the judges nitpicked. Harris thought it was silly to worry about one loop of a serpentine being flatter than another. It seemed an archaic concern, like continuing to practice drill formations never used in real military actions. Then Cecilia left to warm up her own mount. Harris worried. She still couldn't reconcile the old Cecilia, well into her 80s, with the vigorous woman who seemed a few years younger than herself. She kept expecting that appearance to crack, as if it were only a shell over the old one. She was thoroughly bored by the time Cecilia appeared. All the horses did exactly the same thing, or tried to. One went into a fit of bucking, which was at least exciting, if disastrous to its score. But most simply went around and around, trot and canter, slower or faster. Cecilia and the bay mare did the same, not as badly as some and not as well as the best. Harris tried to be interested, but she really couldn't tell how the judges scored any of it. The numbers posted afterwards meant nothing to her. She climbed out of the stands after Cecilia's round. Sure, her backside would have been happier somewhere else.
That's over with. Now for tomorrow.
Tomorrow being the cross-country phase, Harris knew, with four sections that tested the horse's endurance, speed, and jumping ability.
That's the fun part.
Harris had more than doubts, but at least she wouldn't have to sit through all of it. She could watch on monitors or walk from one obstacle to another. Harris watched the start on the monitor. Cecilia had the mare gathered up in a coil, ready to explode, and when the starter waved, she sent the mare out at a powerful canter. The first fence, invariably described as inviting, didn't look it to Harris. The egg cases of the native saurids glittered bronze in the sun, and their narrow ends, pointed up, looked too much like missiles on a rack.
We used to use the whole eggs, but someone crashed into them one year, and the stench was so bad none of the other horses would go near the fence. Ruin the scoring, completely upset everyone. Now they have to wait the bottoms of them, but at least there's no stink.
Cecilia and the mare were safely over the first fence, and Harris decided to walk across the course to the water complex. Cecilia had said it would be a good place to watch. Cecilia grinned into the wind. The mare had calmed down on the steeplechase, where she could run freely, and she met all the fences squarely with the attitude of a horse that knows it can jump. Of course, most horses would jump on the steeplechase course, with its open grassy terrain and its clearly defined fences. The problems would come in the cross-country phase. During roads and tracks, Cecilia tried to feel out how the mare felt about different surfaces, about dark patches of shade and reflections from water. The mare didn't like sudden changes in light, but she would go on if supported by the rider. She paid no heed to the loose dog that suddenly yapped at her heels, a good omen because the crowds in the event course often had dogs, and at least one always got loose. On the big course, Cecilia continued to feel her way into the mare's reflexes. So far, she was amazed at how easy it all seemed. Her own reflexes had come back as if the 30 years since her last big season had never been. They had cleared that first easy fence. The second fence was another straightforward, well-defined obstacle, made of the intertwined trunks of a thicket. The mare flowed over it. Now the course ran toward the ridge for which it was named, the gentle grade up to a scary but jumpable set of rails over a big ditch. The mare looked at the ditch, but jumped without real hesitation when Cecilia sat tight. Next came the Saurus Steps, a staircase arrangement that required the horse to bounce up a series of ledges, then take one stride and jump a drop fence. Here, Cecilia thought the mare was going to run out of impulsion on the last bounce, and legged her hard into the stride at the top. The mare stretched and almost crashed the fence, but caught herself and landed without falling.
My mistake. Too much pushing, too much delight in being here again.
But there was no time to re-ride it in her head. She was already entering the switchbacks that led to the ridgetop, with trappy obstacles at each turn. Two of them required a trot approach. The others could be cantered if the horse didn't pull too badly. The mare pulled like a tractor, fighting the down transitions, snaking her head. On the second trot fence, the mare charged straight ahead past the fence and ran out past the flag.
Settle down.
Cecilia was still pushing too hard, abusing the fragile two-day relationship. The mare switched her tail and backed up, kicking out finally before Cecilia got her lined up for the jump. She jumped willingly once aimed straight at the fence and didn't charge the next fence.
Finesse. It's easier if you don't fight the course.
Or the rider, but it wouldn't help to tell the horse that. She had to convey that with her body. All the mare would understand. Now they were on the ridge, headed back to the east, roughly parallel to the early part of the course, but higher. Here, the obstacles were built to take advantage of natural stone formations. Horses had to jump into depressions, leap back up and over the ridgeline, twisting and turning, changing leads and stride length between each obstacle. Cecilia had always enjoyed this demanding part of the course. On a good day, it had a compelling, syncopated rhythm, very satisfying to mind and body. On a bad day, it was a bone-jarring, breath-eating nightmare of near catastrophe. This mare continued her headstrong, stiff-sided refusal to bend left, but Cecilia kept her on course, regaining her own confidence with every successful jump. Perhaps she was out of practice, but she hauled the mare around a stone pillar and got her lined up for the next. She could still handle a difficult horse on a difficult course. She felt more alive than she had in years. She knew the tapes would show a wide grin on her face. The most dangerous part of the course lay downhill to the water complex. From above, it could look all too inviting, a long sweep of green to the tiny red and white decorations at the water's edge, tempting horse and rider alike to set off down the slope at full speed. But on the way down were two punishing obstacles, a drop fence and a large bank with a ditch below. Cecilia had seen many a rider come to grief here. She had done it herself. She took a firm hold of the mare and eased her over the drop fence. Below it, the mare picked up speed. She wanted to charge at the bank, fly off the top. Cecilia wrestled her down to a rough trot, paused briefly at the top, and thought she had the mare ready for the slide and jump below. Suddenly, the mare swung sideways on the steep slope, reared, plunged, and fell. Cecilia flung herself off on the upslope side as the mare went down.
You idiot.
She meant both of them. This finished the round as far as scores went. Completion was the best she could hope for now, and one more refusal would eliminate them. She knew this debacle would be featured on the annual cube. She could imagine the commentator's remarks about her age. At least she hadn't been wearing a camera herself. The mare lay upside down for a moment, legs thrashing, then heaved herself over and up, clambering out of the muck with more power than grace. She seemed unhurt as Cecilia led her away from the course and checked her legs. Cecilia looked at the saddle, now well greased with mud, and accepted a leg up into the slippery mess with the resignation of experience. The mare was sound. The best thing to do was keep going and finish the course, if she could. The water complex was next, offering a serious challenge even to riders with dry saddles and steerable horses. Cecilia decided on the straight route, mostly because the mare's mistakes had all been steering problems. With that in mind, she eased the mare around the one sharp turn on the approach and legged her at the first fence. The mare jumped clean, sailing into the water with the enthusiasm of youth and a tremendous splash. She cantered gaily through the stream, leapt out the far side and over the bounce, as if she'd been doing it all her life. On the far side of the water complex, the course made a circuit of a large open area, with obstacles spaced along it, rewarding horses that liked to gallop on. Here, the mare had no problems, attacking one jump after another with undiminished verve. Cecilia put the problems behind her and enjoyed the ride. This was what she loved. This was what she had dreamed of in those months of blind paralysis. The warm, live, powerful body beneath her, the thudding hooves, the wind in her face, the vivid colors, the way her body moved with the horse, pumping her own breath in and out. Even the sharp bite of fear that made the successful jumps individual spurts of relief and delight. At the finish, the mare galloped through the posts with her ears still forward and her legs intact. Cecilia felt that if she'd had mobile ears, hers would have been forward too.